Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We were talking just before in our other chat about the New Zealand health system and where we think it's going. Will it survive or won't it survive? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is a great concern of mine that I've been trying to find a few things on thinking about our health system. It's had its name changed a few times through the years. We've all seen that. Like a lot of the different systems of New Zealand, they just put a different name on it, throw a few different lines of what they're going to do on new systems and instill it sounding good. This one has now gone to Māori, the Māori name. And already it was a flop before it started. With this pandemic, they knew it was coming, so they've changed the health system and incorporated, amalgamated it into one controlling entity. Once it is under one controlling entity, one says for all, it can be broken, just like selling off assets from the people. You get them in your name, and then you change them over and you flog them off. Now the health system is under one managing person for all departments throughout New Zealand. They can just destroy the system, health system here, without even thinking about it and saying, well, this doesn't make, we made a mistake. I asked somebody who's in the know. There are several doctors in New Zealand who have been gagged because they spoke out. They know, they're talking to the whole health system and others outside the health system, others that have been kicked out of the health system. They have to be very careful about what they say. They can't go against the agenda, government's agenda, literally, the health agenda. And I asked the other day, can our health system survive? Can it be rebuilt? And at the end of the day, he's come up no. We have to put in a whole new health system. This one has been broken. It's just been renamed for many years, a couple of times. It's a broken system. The whole thing needs to be restructured. We've got to pull our health system apart and rebuild the thing completely again. That's not bad. We've already got systems there that we can take out, components we can take out of the system now and put it together better. It's got to be restructured. It's like you get a broken engine. You can't just replace one part. You've got to take a few parts out of it and put new parts in. That's what we've got to do with the health system here. That's what we've got to do with the political system here. It's a whole big one. Everything's got to be fixed in a similar way.
You think it's strip broken. It down, fully rebuild. Strip it down and rebuild it and replace the faulty parts.
You've got the basic foundations there. If the basic foundation is there that can be worked with, then you can rebuild it like an engine. If the block's cracked, the engine block is cracked, you've got to either throw it away and get a new one, or if you've got somebody smart enough, they can actually cut that in places and weld it back together and machine it so that it is a good running block to run something on.
That's a good analogy.
We can rebuild.
It seems to me that the big elephant in the room with the New Zealand health system is the mandates, which they're not admitting. There were hundreds, probably thousands of nurses and doctors and other people in medical positions that said, I'm not having a bar of this. I'm not going to be vaccinated. I'm not going to wear a mask all day. And I do not comply. And they've just walked off their job, or they've been mandated out. I know people that were walked out of the premises. These are doctors and nurses. Over in your neck of the woods, there's one doctor I know. She was fired stood down initially for giving out exemptions for masks and also for vaccines because she felt her patients would be too risky for them to take this experimental gene therapy. And so she's lost her job completely now. She's now joined New Zealand Doctors Speaking Out with Science.
Yep.
And the thing is,
that's, you know, one or two. But the thing is, we had several who were mandated out of the health system. That's over 4,000 mandated out. And then you had those that walked out. The
shortage of doctors and nurses is a result of the mandates. We're not being told the truth about it. It's at crisis point. It's about to my practice where I go. There's three doctors, and only one of them is on deck because he's the only one that's been vaccinated. The other two have said, "No, I'm not taking that in my body, and I'm not going to wear a mask all day." So they're staying at home, but they're part of the practice. They are partners in a medical practice.
Yep. I know similar accounts of that happening as well, of people in that situation. The whole system has been knocked out. They mandated them out, as well as those that voluntarily left before they were mandated out. So they only left because they knew they were going to get fired anyway. New Zealand healthcare workers that have lost because of the pandemic, because you've got over 4,000 that were mandated out, and you had those that also left before they were mandated. So you could have up to 8,000 or more actual numbers of people that should be working, but they haven't gone back because they're not allowed, or they don't want to work in the system because it's corrupt and broken.
He said to me this week that if you want a hernia operation, you'll be waiting for public 18 months minimum, and you'll be on, you know, painkillers, you know, like Panadol and Tramadol, depending on the severity of it. And you could even die while you're waiting for your operation. That's how bad it is in the hospitals.
That's happening. That happened through COVID, and after COVID, it's been happening. They built the numbers up purposely to do that, so that people are going to die. They can't get the backlog out. The system's broken. So you're getting people that are dying from the vaccine. You're getting people that are dying from not having treatment, and more people who are going to die because they can't get that treatment. It takes so long. It's a big kill off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but we all know that's been proven, and they're just now
doing everything. Well, they think we're crazy talking like this, but, you know, it's only because they're ignorant, or willingly ignorant. They refuse to look at anything other than what the mainstream is telling them on their television and radio sets.
That's the direct reason there. They are not doing any of their actual research. No. Another problem is that has come out. People think, okay, I'm going to find out what this is all about, what these conspiracy theorists are about. I'm going to have a look. And they get on there for half an hour or an hour and get a couple of things that come on Google that says false information. When you've got to go off Google,
that's right. The fact checkers say it's false, and then
it's there. Yeah. But the thing is, they think that just half an hour of a quick look will get them knowledge. This will take them weeks if they've been given simple to follow, comprehensible leads to the information. It will take them weeks to start getting an idea of what's going on, to start grasping it. They're wanting to understand decades of corruption and decadence that's been put into the system in a few couple of hours. And now that doesn't work.
Why weren't you fooled by the mainstream media and the government propaganda that was, you know, bashing us daily?
As far as I've been brought up, I have seen corruption in the government from when I came out of my mother's vagina.
Oh,
from there on. That's real, mate. This country has been corrupt so long, and I've been awake from there. I had an auntie who said no, who didn't believe the system.
She won't open your eyes.
No, she sent me information. She said this is not right, and that confirmed it. It helped open my eyes. I thought that's not right. We shouldn't be doing that. And she was there. But that was in the younger years. She disappeared for many years. And we're communicating again now. And she's a hell for leather. She's probably towards her 80s now, bro. And she's still hardcore going into this, what they call down the rabbit hole. But it's actually just finding the information. And she's passing a lot of it to me. It's a massive thing. The website is loaded with this information. And it's also loaded with disinformation and misinformation and just other information to confuse you.
What website's this?
That's websites all over. That's the internet.
Oh, yeah.
The internet.
Well,
is,
so many websites were taken down. Facebook pages deleted. YouTube channels deleted. I mean, it was a thorough frontal attack with the a government in league with, you know, Twitter. And before, this is before Elon Musk took it back over, Twitter and YouTube, Google. You couldn't find anything negative, any negative position or any concerns about the vaccine on Google, because they'd hidden it all from us. And so you had to have a VPN, and also you had to use some, you know, other search engines like Yandex, which is a Russian one, just to get any information. It was very difficult. In fact, the only way people were getting information out in those early days until we all wised up was just, you know, word of mouth. Like you share stuff with people, you know. But even I noticed, even on Messenger, I couldn't share certain websites on Messenger. Certain URLs were just banned. The message wouldn't go through. So you can see it was a full frontal war against the people of the world, really, especially the Western world. In New Zealand, it was full frontal against the people. Now, when the government's hiding things from us, you know, that means they're lying to us. That means they're not good people. In a free and democratic society, people are allowed to speak out and allowed to have diverse opinions, but not here, not in this saying, country.
It's that saying that if people are trying to hide something, they're trying to hide the truth.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, because you've got nothing to fear from the truth.
If the truth is there, you've got nothing to fear from it. So if you're trying to hide that, you've got something really big to hide, and this government will not engage in discussions. Democracy is based on two people, two sides having a conversation. That's a discussion.
It's about argumentum, isn't it?
Since this government came in, they have closed down all discussions and debate. They've closed down all correspondence and conversation. So they have literally nailed the feet of democracy into the ground and says, that's where you're staying. We're going to go and do what we want.
That's
the state of New Zealand. Right. That's the state of the health system as well. New Zealand didn't get a short chance in saying anything about this health system. It was not put up for public discussion. It was just imposed on them.
Do you think that New Zealanders put far too much emphasis on going to the doctor? Do you think we need to take responsibility for our own health? You know, and obviously we need a doctor or a hospital for, you know, to pick us up off the road and put us back together again if we've been hit by a bus or involved in a car accident or, you know, in some horrible
thing. That is what people have been taught to believe by what has been put on the TV and through the media of, if you're sick, go and see your doctor. If this is wrong, go and see your doctor. Go and see your doctor. And they have also got rid of your holistic healers, your old bush healers, all holistic natural medications. They have knocked the people out who prescribe that, or they're trying to. They have gotten rid of so much information, knowledge of that around the world. It's not just here. They have suppressed and buried natural remedies, so you have to go and get pharmaceutical goods. This whole thing, the whole world issues now are revolving around, it's not healthcare, it's control, and they are portraying it as healthcare. Look at the healthcare
and
system in New Zealand. They're trying to save everyone with healthcare, and the health system is worse off than it has ever been in New Zealand's history. And this is around the world. They're doing all this pandemic lockdown and everything for the health and welfare of the world, and it has turned out a dud, and the vaccine doesn't work, and the health care around the world has never been in a worse state than ever before on the planet. And that's probably not even when the Spanish flu and that went through. That was, the health system was probably in a better system then than it is now. It just wasn't as many people. Now the health system is completely broken within this country. It's about to stall and die, literally.
Talking about the Spanish flu, Max, I'm in the middle of reading Virus Mania, and two of the co-writers is husband and wife duo, young doctors, 15 years each experience, but they are obviously now no longer would be allowed to practice because of the views are different from the mainstream, you know, from the medical council. And that's Dr. Sam Bailey and her husband, Dr. Mark Bailey, and they are co-authors in a international book, wonderful book called Virus Mania. And in one of the chapters, it talked about the Spanish flu, which you've just mentioned. And they said that all of the people, one part of that book, a good few paragraphs, they said that people that had been vaccinated with the, I think it was a smallpox vaccine prior to the outbreak of the Spanish flu, were the main, they were the ones that were affected more badly, you know, worse. And it seemed to be all the leafy sub, you know, all the sort of more well-off countries that were affected very badly by the Spanish flu. And the ones that had not been vaccinated, these are some of them were doctors and some of them were just lay people. The ones that hadn't been vaccinated were the only ones that were able to help people that had been come down with the Spanish flu. So that tells me that the earlier vaccines, like the smallpox vaccine, weakened their immune system so that when this, whatever it was that came along, that made them sick, you know, which could have been just malnutrition, you know, just really bad, you know, stress from coming out of World War One.
So anything could
all those things could have weakened the body enough for them to be susceptible to microbes, you know, attacking the system.
That sounds familiar because the previous immunizations made them weaker, and then they got sick with new diseases coming around. Sounds similar to maybe this time this medication has weakened people's systems, and the next one that comes out, it may not be so bad to those that aren't vaccinated, but to those that are vaccinated, the next one will be a little one for us, but a killer for them.
Well, we're seeing we're seeing that most of the people that have come down with the flu are vaccinated people. They're the most unhealthy people in New Zealand.
The problem is people are letting it happen to them. That's a sad thing to say, but they're not standing up and saying, hey, there's a problem. You've injected me with something that's not right. Yeah. What is wrong? We need to know. And they're not standing up and saying that.
Well, they'll never
we can't do it.
In fact, it's been under, they've put it under wraps until, what is it, 2050? I mean, they were trying to get information out of Pfizer. But this is not just us, but America.
If the people stood up in this country and even 3 million said, hey, we want to know, the government would have no choice. They would not be able to hide it. Otherwise, the majority of the country saying, we want to know. If the government said no, then they're actually standing in the way of our health and well-being. And that would also be borderline becoming treason as well.
Well, this is the thing. And I think that because that she won't stop and take a look and listen to others, it tells me that this woman that's running out the show and her other cohorts are on the payroll of the drug companies. They've got budgets to meet, and they're getting paid a lot of money. She's buying a lot of property. To me, it seems as though, you know, where's all this money coming from? She's only on about $400,000 a year. It's not a very high-paying job to be Prime Minister of New Zealand. So where's all the money coming from? And sugar so daddy. I would think that she's on the take. And if you talk to Greg Hallett, the author of New Zealand, A Blackmailer's Guide, I'm pretty sure that he'll have up-to-date information because he had all the information on the last lot, you know, back 20 and 30 years ago. Yep. That's why he doesn't live in New Zealand anymore. He's in hiding because he's had 12 death threats. Attempts.
People aren't looking, and a lot of people don't want to know. It's a big, scary thing. It still overpowers me sometimes. Earlier this week, because of several things that have been happening, I've been sort of on the verge of being triggered and keep myself back and thinking, how can I deal with this? It just does not stop. It's overpowering. I just want all this stuff to go away.
They are not stopping.
That is their plan. Mm. They're going to drive people away because they make it too much for them to bear. But the fact is, that's what we've got to stand up and say, no. I've just been reading a thing here, and what people are doing wrong with this kind of world that's leading this country, this person in the country who's running it, we are trying to resist them. We're doing it wrong.
Right.
We're doing it wrong. Okay. We have to actually stop them. We've got to stand up and say, hey, no, we're not resisting you. We're going to disavow you to do this to us.
The problem is, Max, all the men have been feminized by, you know, over the last, you know, decades of feminism. And, you know, men have been feminized that don't have what it takes to stand up for their fellow countrymen and their own families.
emancipated. Yeah, they're
yeah,
their, what do you call it? Their masculinity has been removed.
The girl,
their masculinity has been removed, and feminism has been a big move of that. But then what they have now is the men have lost their masculinity, and the women have taken on.
Yeah, men have been feminized. Yeah.
It's not women's fault. This is what the political system has made happen to break the whole social structure down, community structure.
You know, Max, so the men sad to say, Max, that women have fought harder and stronger than any man I know, or apart from John Ansell and yourself, but and a few others, but most of them have been, you know, people like Sue Gray, Liz Gunn, Hannah from Counterspin. Obviously Kelvin's making a stand, but there's way more women than men that are making a stand against the tyranny.
Hell yeah, it's just amazing. I saw it down at the protests.
Protests in Wellington.
When the front lines came, it was the elder woman. It was more women in there, and elderly strong. There was younger guys in there, but the elder guys and the big ones, big mussy guys, were standing back with their hands crossed, watching it from a back, 50, 100 metres back.
Going peace and love, peace and love.
Well, they were watching. It was like, you big guys, you didn't get in there. There were big guys in there. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, there were. Well, what was that guy that got his eyes gouged by that?
Go back and,
Max?
They got the snot. Do you remember that guy that
got his eyes gouged by that sergeant?
Punched.
You know, and really punched badly, like really beaten up. Lingo Louie did an interview with him, and did you see his face?
Yeah, mate, the Portaloo guy. He was,
He is great.
Lots of that were beaten up in the road, but at the moment.
And a gentle man, but strong, powerful, and making a stand on the front line.
There's a few guys now in the standing up with the media, like with Sue and Liz. A few guys standing up there, Steve Oliver, and you've got Kelvin as well.
Steve Oliver,
And you've got the
Brad Flutie,
Joe Farmer, and Brad Flutie. There's a few guys coming in there, but we need more. There are guys standing in there, but there's not as many as what we need. And
that's right.
There's a lot of women that need to come in too. And a lot of kids.
Well, there's Voices for Freedom, and they've done a great job. Voices for Freedom.
Younger guys.
I know not everyone agrees with what they're, you know, that they're not strong enough, but you know, they're exposing the rot in this country, and I think that's commendable. And they've got that guy Hatchard comes on quite regularly.
It's coming out in the health system now, big time. This whole thing is this. Well, as we know, it's the whole pandemic has been about health, so it's all about health, and you're seeing now corruption of the health system in the name of pandemic is coming out now, and that corruption runs through the health system from the powers above, which is through the whole of the government parliament building via the prime minister, via the connections of the prime minister is working with outside country forces to bring all this about around the planet, not just here in New Zealand. It's they can turn around and say,
Max, sorry to interrupt you in your train of thought. There's a few couple of people listening. Look, if you want to phone in and try and get a word in edgeways between Max and I, you're more than welcome. I'm sure that some of you listening, if you're obviously have an opinion and we'd love to hear it. We'd like you to hear your opinion, and we won't be rubbishing you. We don't believe in argumentum ad hominem here, so you're allowed to share it. Not like Sean Plunkett at the platform or Michael Laws at the platform, who won't let you get a word in edgeways. You're not even allowed to finish a sentence. I heard a interview he did with Brendan Faithful, the guy that's the 40-year veteran undertaker, and he saw anomalies in the blood. He saw lots of blood clotting that was not normal in bodies. And Sean Plunkett didn't allow that man, who was not an experienced speaker at the time. He probably is more now, but he wouldn't allow him to even finish a sentence, a single sentence. It was the most shocking interview I've ever heard. So if anyone wants to have a chat, you feel free to have a talk with us. Just call in. If you can get a word in edgeways between Max and me.
Well, I can see the comment there. If the church played a part in it, and that's a definite yes.
What do you mean? What do you think he means by the church has played a part in what?
Well, church it's like feminine. Oh, yeah. even lately, there was the American, was it Bishop or the American Christian guy that came over here, and
yes, Billy Graham's son.
And they hammered him, and that you had the whatever church thing here. They were saying that he was wrong, and we didn't want it, and that he was no good, and New Zealand didn't believe in, and that church, the Christian situation here, society did not believe in his policies. And it's like listening to her made me sick. I'm not Christian, but I will follow and listen to that American guy do his talk, because he was not. He was not being disrespectful to others. He was just saying the way it is from the Bible, and that was made 2,000 years ago. This new lot have basically thrown that scripture out, and they've got a new kind of Christianity which goes for feminism and men. It goes for all these gender society breaking things. They're backing that stuff, and it's a sickening form of Christianity that has been new formed into New Zealand. They're trying to overpower and destroy religion as such, which in some ways I think it was quite clean in what it was doing, but now this new Christian society that started in New Zealand is perverting Christianity and origins. They're quite sick, I think. Listening to them made me think these people are not good. They're not a good Christian front for Christianity in New Zealand. They're actually destructive. They're part of the government system. Sorry, but
Let's have a listen to let's see what Alison says, and also RN85. Alison says, I saw that interview with Sean. That's Sean Plunkett on the platform. She thought it was disgraceful. And RN85 says, turning the Lion of Judea, which is what Jesus Christ is supposed to be, into the house cat, Jesus into Mr. Rogers.
That's right. That is what this new society, Christian society in New Zealand, is doing.
Yeah.
It's actually very sick to listen to when she was speaking there, denouncing this American guy. And I thought, I'm not a Christian.
Sorry, I missed that. Who was denouncing? Now, what's his name? Billy Graham. What was his name? Clayton Graham. No. Can you remember his name? Someone tell us what his name is. It's terrible. I should know.
It was, he's a politician. She was the head of the new sort of Christian society here.
We're pretty fragmented. There's heaps of us. But you see, a lot of them don't believe that they should have anything to do with politics. A lot of Christians don't believe that. They believe they just sit back and they don't get involved in politics. That would be the exclusive brethren. Oh, I'm not sure about the exclusive brethren. The Seventh-day Adventists, I don't think they vote. But then are they Christian or are they a cult? You know, that's the other thing. Catholics are always voting. I think the Anglicans are always, you know, they're mostly into it. But there's a lot of I don't know, maybe the charismatics don't vote, or maybe they do. That could be a bit of a wide stroke of the brush. But certainly
everything asset, everything good for New Zealand and its people has been tainted, broken, destroyed, sold off to make things worse for the New Zealand people. Some of them know it. Many of them know it. They don't want to get involved in it. Others just say complete conspiracy, but it's like, actually take a look at the whole of New Zealand now. We've lost most of our country's assets over the last few decades. Our health system is smashed, broken, just about ready to stall and break. We're just about ready to close hospitals because there's not enough staff there.
Yeah.
They're closing hospitals because they don't want them in the districts.
The preacher you're talking about is Franklin Graham. I couldn't remember his name. I should do with a name like Franklin.
For a preacher man, he's actually quite okay to listen to. I'm not offended by what he preaches.
Well, I'm not, you'd like, I'm not if you like
but
him.
But I'm not offended by him. But the other woman who was denouncing him, I am totally offended for her. She is a danger to children, not just the people. What she's leading is for everything indecent. That's what I see.
Max, if you like Flynn Graham, you'll love his father, Billy Graham. And he came to New Zealand in the late 1950s, and my parents took along a lot of their friends that weren't Christians. They took them to his, and they were massive. They were stadiums. You know, I mean, we had sort of rugby stadiums and, you know, the showgrounds, and he would go to those. I think he went to, you know, Wellington, the biggest some of the biggest venues in the country at the time. And so if you, you could look him up, Billy Graham, and have a listen to some, he's incredible to listen to.
The you interview know, like, that was done with him, they did an interview with him.
With Franklin, the son, or Billy, him, the father.
And oh yeah, they, but he was talking about his father. His father was spoken right. of in this interview, and how he, where, what he was doing, and how he came to New Zealand, and now his son has come over here, following in his father's footsteps. They had a good intro into him and his father, so it was. I'm not offended. I'm not offended by religions. I've lived around Christianity of lots of different forms. I've lived around Buddhism. I've lived around Islam and Hindu. And probably you've got different forms of these religions around. I've lived around that amongst them.
That's right, because you own property in up in Asia, don't you?
I went overseas, over in Asia. And it's a part, all these people work together. They have for centuries. There's been fighting in that, but as a general, these many different religions have lived together in a reasonable harmony. It's when you go down to Indonesia and places like that, over to Borneo, into the Papua New Guinea, there have been some really vicious racial fights where people have been killed, religious wars, Muslim against Christianity. In the Asian Indonesia, countries, a lot of them, they live together in a kind of peaceful harmony.
Indonesia, here, though, is the has the largest. Yes, Indonesia has the largest population of Muslims in the world. It's a Muslim country, and that's one of the reasons why I don't. I mean, I don't go to. I never went up to. These places for holidays. Because, you know, I don't want to go and visit a Muslim. I am a bit gun shy of Muslims because I've read the Quran and I don't like what I read in it.
Some of the countries are very
bloodthirsty. People would say the Bible's bloodthirsty, but, you know, it's specific and it's warfare. But in the Quran, it's general. You know, it's pretty anti everyone that's not a Muslim.
Yeah, well,
if you read the Quran, I haven't seen that reflected in Muslims that I know though. But they're probably backsliders. And not really just, solid.
Religion
Muslims
is a very sort of touchy subject. Like some people might might agree with me.
It's touchy, isn't it? Like, you know, even
everyone's
ideology.
Touchy about everything now. It's like you spoke about that person having beautiful blonde hair. I think you're sexist. It's like pull your head.
Which person? When did I say that?
No, that's the sort of thing as an example. Yeah. It's like which blonde one? There's 10 of them there. Which one are you talking about? I was talking about all of them. But this is everything. Everyone gets offended or against everything now because everyone's been taught to moan and bitch and complain.
That's how the Marxists, you know, Max, that's how the Marxists
divide the people.
But it's really Marxism in disguise, and that's how they divide people. Is that what you said? Divide people?
Divide people through all means, through race, through religion, through age, through gender, through political beliefs. It's breaking down society in any way. Our health system, it always keeps coming back to our health system. All this stuff, this infighting, this division, this is working on people's psyche. New Zealand now has a massive mental health problem. If they're going to say it has a big drug problem, you can probably find that because of the big mental health issues, people are going to drugs and getting drug addictions because they've got mental health issues that haven't been dealt with, that can't be dealt with because there's no system to deal with them, and then they're losing the plot over there. So it's a compounding on the whole of society. The whole of society is copying this mass just destabilization of the community and the social scene through all the services, through all their living. They're making them hungry. They're making them worried about what's going on through the BS on TV. They're making their healthcare hard to get. They're making it hard for them to travel, to buy, to spend, to see, to even to be together. Don't talk to your neighbors. So this is working on everyone's mental state. It's horrible.
Max, Alison just said, we've moved away a little bit from what we should be talking about, so we'll try and get back to the New Zealand health system. Will it survive? It's on its knees. Will it survive? But just talking about Bali, which is Indonesia, she says, Bali have now passed a law that residents and visitors would be illegal if they had unwed sex.
Yep, saw that. So what you do is you go to Vietnam, same thing.
Mm. Oh, really?
In Vietnam, you can't
go. Is Vietnam Muslim now?
No, Vietnam is.
Well, yeah, but their religion.
There is Muslim over there. They got.
So
they believe in.
Are they mostly Muslim? I mean, it would be Muslim that would push that one.
It's predominantly.
I mean, Christians wouldn't dare try that.
Buddha, yeah, Buddhist there.
It's supposed to be.
It's predominantly Buddhist there. But yeah. It's communist. Oh, right. Oh, really? So over there, they won't even let, if you've got an Asian girl there, even from another country, you've been together for 10 years, if you're not married, you aren't allowed to stay in the same room.
Oh, this is in, so we know that's Vietnam. In Bali, according to Alison, and also in Vietnam.
Yep. Yep. Wow. And if you have sex with a prostitute in Vietnam, you get caught, you're busted, man. They'll put you in jail. It'll cost you massive to get out. Mm. I think this is also in Laos. It's quite a common thing, not just in Muslim countries.
Mm.
It's there. Some of these communist countries are very staunch in that. Then the nationals can have unwed sex, but international people who go into these countries are no. It's to stop prostitution.
Getting back to the health system here in New Zealand, is there anyone that has a story to tell about, either going to the doctor and not being able to get an appointment or to the hospital and not being able to be seen? I know that the wait times in most hospitals are at least 8 to 10 hours. Wellington Hospital, one elderly guy with heart complaints in his 80s, he was waiting for 10 hours before he could get a bed to have needed surgery. And they say it's about a 6 to 8 hour wait to just even to see anyone, even triage.
We need to get to build a side prop medical system on the side for the basics of.
But that takes money, though, doesn't it? Where's the money going to come from?
Well, the thing is,
people have to be paid.
The thing is, everyone, they put up this money as a block. That is because we've been taught that we need money for that, so we can't do it. This is a psychological thing that they've done as well. If we get together, we can make things happen. And before, there never used to be massive money for operations in that. It was done on a shoestring sort of setup. That's what we're going to have to go back to and use natural remedies.
We've got to get control of this government, don't we, Max?
If you broke your leg in the old days, you had a plaster put on. Now, if you break your legs, they cut you open and they pin it to you, your leg together, and they sew you back together. And then once it's healed, they go in there and they take that screw pin off out again and then sew you back up again. Why do all this? They say it makes you heal better. BS. It's more of the system cutting you open, giving you medicines. We used to have you break your arm, you break your leg. Even if it was a bad set, a bad break, they would just pull it out and then reset it in shape, and then it would mend itself together. That's what the human body does. It's got an immune system.
So are you saying they shouldn't be putting tools, like bits of titanium in you? They should just be setting it in plaster and letting the body heal itself.
How much that would save the taxpayer, and there's nothing wrong with it. This is what people have been doing for centuries.
Well,
why cut you open and put a pin in when you don't need it? You put a plaster on there. They say it will make it heal faster and stronger. BS. It will not make it heal faster. The bone will only mend at the speed that your body will mend at. Putting a steel plate in there won't mend it. Some things will get you back on your feet. If you smash your hip, you may need some super constructive stuff in there. But for a general break, put a plaster of Paris plaster on it, and that is what we've been doing. That would save the country masses of money and time. Your operating is so booked up, putting pins and plates into people, they can't do heart operations and taking cancer out of people because they've got all these other things in theatre that they don't need to be doing, costing masses of money that they don't need to be spending, sucking the whole system, breaking the whole system. It's the whole that just says that the health system is corrupt inside. We've been made to believe that operations that aren't necessary have to be done. And if you don't
do
them,
think, Alison?
You're a bad person.
What do you think, Alison, or any of the others? Do you think that Max is off on a tangent, or do you think he's got a valid point? I think he may have a valid point with some of those orthopedic operations, you know, like a fractured. My friend went into the oh, did you know that our friend, L, I'll just say L because you know who I mean, next door to your brother, she cracked both her ankles, one in three fractures in the right leg and one in the left leg down low, I think fibia. And they put a pin in, and after the operation, the doctor said, well, we didn't really need to do that, but it'll stop you getting arthritis at a later date. Well, she just needed a cast or a moon boot on both of them.
Yep.
So it's that was like, a big waste of time.
What do they Alison do when they put pins in that? They drill them out.
Alison, yeah, I think you could be right there. I mean, perhaps if you had a major break of, say, the fear. Or the femur, you might have to go in traction if they didn't have the tools, you know, like the titanium to screw in. So,
bone, there's a certain point where you will need that. If you get your arm cut off, you can't just let it, you'll bleed out. So you've got to block it off. For a crushed bone or bone broken as badly as near that, you're going to need some surgery. But for a general break, there's no need to put people in hospital and have a pin, because when you're in there, it might get you moving a little bit faster in a false way. It's got a pin there, so it's not going to flex.
Well, I found it funny.
The fact is,
why didn't she need
to be walking?
Well, Max, I found it quite odd that the doctor said after he'd operated that you didn't really need to have the pins put into your femur because it would have healed okay, just but we thought we'd do it because it would stop arthritis at a later date. I would have thought screwing bits of metal into your leg would be you'd be more susceptible to arthritis if that was left in than you would be if just let to heal naturally as the body does.
They didn't need to do it, but they did it because it's prescribed protocol nowadays. Well,
money to today's be made, isn't it?
And also, it's sucking the system. Money. Yep, yeah. Because you're going to, when they cut you open, what are they going to need to do? It's parts, it's metal plates and pins and screws. Mm. There's money there.
Yeah,
operating,
titanium.
That's money there. Afterwards, you need antibiotics and stuff to stop you from getting an infection. More money there. It's just a money pit. Suck the money out of the people.
I don't normally go and see doctors. But, obviously I'm not, I just use homeopathic remedies if I need it and try and eat well, because I think that if you keep your body healthy, you don't normally come down with illnesses. But I 100%. Had an accident. I fell over backwards carrying a large, heavy bit of steel with another person. And I fell over and what I was holding, I managed to get a leg under myself so I didn't fall over backwards, but sort of fell back and did a big squat, and I think I tore some muscles or something, but I also gave myself three hernias. And they say that I have to wait 18 months just to have an operation, and I'm in pain, but that's 18 months just to have a operation if the public through the public system. So I have ACC have said to me, well, you do qualify for an operation. We've granted that application. And so I phoned the surgeon who surgeon's secretary who my GP referred me to, and the lady there said we have he's overseas at the moment on holiday. I thought that's great, and so he must be making lots of money. And then she said he wouldn't be able to see you until March.
Yep. And
I'd probably have the operation soon after.
Because this is also another problem with just banging people through operations, and they're saying someone needs something wrong, they need to be done. What is the success?
I don't know if there's any way you can fix hernias, though, without an operation, is there?
Homeopathy,
they say they can, but then some homeopaths say, no, you can't. But there's a lot of homeopathic...
They can't fix a hernia without an operation. What is the success rate of fixing some of those hernias after a operation? How successful are these?
I've heard all horror stories of those mesh things they put in.
several operations, it's a 50-50 chance whether it's going to improve you or actually make it worse for you.
Well, this is what I've heard. John, you remember John McClone in Kentucky? He had a hernia operation. They put mesh in him. He said, never get it. He said, it was worse than ever. I'm worse now than I was when I had the hernia. And apparently they put pig, it's not just plastic they put in you. They can put some kind of a pig skin or something in there, in this mesh. It's not actually, you know, it's not human and it's not a synthetic entirely. And and sometimes you can get an infection because of that mesh and get sepsis. And, you know, if you get sepsis in your body, you've only got one in five people pass away.
Septicemia.
They get full-blown sepsis of the body, which is probably just really bad blood poisoning, isn't it?
They got to hospital late, and a hospital said they stayed away from the hospital for as long as they could because they didn't want it to cost the family money. This is overseas. And they got really sick, and then they started in such pain, intense pain. They went to the hospital, and that hospital says, no, that person's too sick. Take them to another hospital, and they did. And they tried to get the drugs into that person, but the septicemia was so far gone, they couldn't, and they died.
Oh, no. Heaps of people. Like I said, I looked at the stats online. It was one in five who get sepsis pass away.
Yep.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better. And
masks are protective.
But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Because now the CDC says, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate. And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
And are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.